Now, I did say to Phil that if time permits, I would share briefly from the scriptures, and I'd like us to look into the book of Isaiah. And just seeing that lady at the end, reading it in her own language, which in the north of Malawi is a language called Tumbuka, and how the word of God is applicable and relevant for every part of the world, you know, and for every culture and every background. We've got someone here today who's living and working in China, and the word of God has effect. It can change lives, but it wants us to respond to them. Now, if you're familiar with the book of Isaiah, we're going to be in chapter 52. Chapter 52 and 53 are vital chapters in this book. And chapter 53 talks about the suffering servant, who is Christ himself. And it's interesting that that chapter was used by Philip to preach to the Ethiopian eunuch, a man from Africa, who took the gospel back home with them into the heart of Africa. But obviously, before chapter 53, there comes chapter 52. And chapter 52 is like a preparation. And this is the word that God wants us to hear, to receive the gospel and how to receive it. Because the medium through which the gospel comes, of course, is the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is outlined in chapter 53. But before we can hear that, he wants us to be prepared. He wants our hearts to be ready so that when the word does come, we may receive it and it may have effect in the way that God intends. And I want to read verse 1 and 2, chapter 52 of Isaiah. Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For from henceforth, from now on, there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Now this was a message for Jerusalem at a very significant time, because the kingdom of Judah was really backsliding away from the Lord and from his righteousness and from his law. They were rejecting God, they were turning away from him, and many other prophets were prophesying invasion by a foreign army, taking over and destroying the city and taking the people captive. But Isaiah saw something else. He saw a hope. He saw a light. And this is why he says to them, in the midst of a terrible background, he tells them to wake up. Don't slumber anymore. Because something is happening that if you are ready, God will do something amazing in your heart. He says, put on your beautiful garments. Now, that may have seemed strange to them at the time because things were not going well. And some of them had put on garments of mourning, as in when someone passes away. And he says, those who wake up and put on these beautiful garments, shall no more come to you the uncircumcised and the unclean. In other words, foreign elements and foreign agents would not be able to come in and defile what the Lord wants to do among his people. And that word is relevant. It was relevant for them, but it's also relevant for us. God wants us a pure, holy people, and he can do things for us which we don't even imagine of at the moment. He wants to do so much more than we can possibly think of or plan for. And my mind just goes back to the prayer meeting we had on Thursday. And yes, I suppose it is a plug for the prayer meeting. But it's more than that. Because God did something there on Thursday. And you realize that we have an amazing privilege in this country of being able to be free to be. That is not happening over the world. We have friends in different parts who Meetings are restricted. They're not free. But we are. What are we going to do with that freedom? And as we were praying on Thursday, I got that sense that our prayers were being used by the Lord to touch different situations in different parts of the earth. God can use us, but we need to awake. We need to put on these beautiful garments, these garments of righteousness, which the Lord has given to us. And then he goes on in verse 2. He says, shake yourself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bands or the chains of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. And the word that really stood out for me there was, shake yourself from the dust. They were used to bad news. Things were not going well. They were, as it were, sitting down in the dust, covered in dust. At the moment where Helen and I live in our house, next door there's been a lot of work going on. And there is dust. There's a lot of dust. And you know what sort of building work dust does? It gets everywhere, even in the places you don't expect it to get. And it's possible to let that dust settle and affect us. The other illustration I can think of is, some of you will know that I cycle to work, and I have a client in West Kirby, which means that sometimes I cycle along the Wirral Way. Many times it's muddy, but when it hasn't been raining, on the few occasions when it doesn't, it becomes very dry and dusty. And the dust sort of gets stirred up and can get into the mechanics of the bike. And it can affect the gears and the bearings of the axle, and it impedes and hinders the function of the bike. So it doesn't run quite as smooth as it ought. And that can be the same for us in our spiritual lives. If we allow the dust of the world to get in, into little places which we didn't think it could reach, but it will ultimately affect our function. Now, I've made a few notes here. What kind of dust can come into our lives? These are just a little list I came up with. Some are obvious. The dust of sin. If we allow sin to remain, again, it will impede our function and will make us not go as fast or as quick or as effective as we ought. What other kinds of dust are there? There's the dust of unbelief. When we just do not believe the Lord. We may have reasons or excuses for it, but it's still dust. And if we don't move in faith, Daniel mentioned faith earlier, then it will affect our function. There is the dust of negativity. I suffer from this. I can be very negative about myself. Just ask my wife. But that is dust. And if we allow it to remain, it again will hinder the function of our spiritual lives. There is the dust of fear. We can be so afraid of things. We can be afraid of circumstances, but also we can be afraid of the future. If we allow fear to rule our lives, we'll never do anything. Get rid of that dust. Arise, awake, shake off the dust. What other kinds of dust are there? There's the dust of lethargy or laziness. There's the dust of indulgence. There is the dust of words. Words which we may hear. Sometimes we may not. It may not be intended that we hear, but we may hear them anyway. And linked in with that, there can be the dust of criticism. We may hear that also, or false accusation. And when we hear such things, it's so easy to rise up and get that sense of injustice. That's wrong, don't they know? It's dust. Shake it off.
get rid of it. What other dust there is? The dust of reactions. You may say something to someone and they don't always react in the way that you thought they would. You may have meant it in a kind or loving way, but they took offence. Don't let that dust settle. Don't let it get in and remain, because it will stop your true function in the Lord. And linked in with that can be the dust of self-pity. Oh, woe is me. You know, and we can think of a whole multitude of reasons why we are what we are. And the Lord said this to a group of people in Jerusalem who were about to be surrounded by enemies. He said, yes, this has come to you. In one sense, it's deserved. But look up. Listen to these words. Awake, arise, shake off your dust. And I'm thinking now of people in different parts of the world, and some are watching on Zoom now, I believe. There is the dust of hostility. If you are a Christian, you will have trouble in this world. Jesus said so. If they hated me, they will hate you. If you follow the Lord, you will meet enemies. That is just part and parcel of being a Christian. But shake off the dust. It doesn't need to settle on your person. You can rise up, awake, and you can be free. And it doesn't need to affect the way you live your life for Christ. So there's the dust of hostility. There's also the dust of opposition. And sometimes there may even be the dust of persecution. All kinds of dust. And you can make me think of much more than I've just written down there. This is the word that God says. Awake, awake. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments. Verse 2. Shake yourself. That's not something that God is going to do for you. You have to awake and arise, and you have to do that yourself. And you say, Lord, I'm hearing something today. I'm going to respond to you. And if I have allowed dust to come into my life, I respond to you today because I know that you will clear it out. I'm going to take my bicycle in for a service in the next few days, and they're going to strip it down and remove all the clogging dust that gets mixed in with the oil and stops the smooth running of the gears and so on. Now, if a shop in Heswall can do that to a bike, how much more can the Lord do it for you and me if we respond to him with all our hearts? Shake off your dust. Why does he say this? Because the remaining part of chapter 52, he talks about joy, fortifying, which is the true meaning of comfort, and redemption. He said, these things are coming. Be ready. Shake off the dust. How do they come? They come through the suffering servant of Christ, who is utterly faithful and will do this and far, far more if we will open up our lives and respond to him. That's all I need to say. Thank you again for letting us share about Malawi. Thank you for your love and prayers. Do keep praying for Africa as well as other parts of the world. They need it. But before I finish, respond to the Lord. We've got 10 minutes. I'm sure Phil won't mind if we just spend that time just waiting on him and saying, Lord, I want to arise. I want to awake. I want to shake off the dust of things which have stopped me being the kind of person that you want me to be. Let's just open our hearts to him and respond. We may sing something towards the end.